like causing a ruckus. I like breaking the norm. I like making people be uncomfortable in their boxes. Fuck their boxes.
I would fuck their boxes. Welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. And this week, I am Hot Sauce.
And I am Sewing Crow.
And this is a two-man cast. So, Knife City is busy as hell.
Enduring torture.
Enduring torture, dealing with the mother-in-law and other
family. I don't know how many family members, but several family members. There was like a burning of his hand and a barbecue. I'm sure we'll have a hospital story later on from him.
Yeah, it's like...
But he's just been like a full week of the in-laws in your place.
He couldn't even get out an episode until, you know, two nights ago, because he just had no time to do anything else. So right now, I mean, after this recording, we're going to have another two in the pocket waiting to be released. So everything's way late. So you hear any information here, anything relevant to Magic or games or any of that stuff, listen, you've already fucking heard about it. It's way, way super late.
We don't want to listen still. Don't chase them away entirely.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, though. So anyways, we are Lands Could Kill. We are two of the members of the three, and... Well, if you haven't heard us before, we like to banter, we like to bullshit, we like to tell some stories of the last 7 days of our life, you know, since the last cast, kind of that standard podcast intro bullshit you've heard before.
We kind of take it another step farther, because we don't just have like a, oh yeah, I had a good week. It kind of gets in depth sometimes, and we talk about video games and movies that we were playing or watching, and
we also, we tangent like a motherfucker, and we don't hold anything back, and we have a good fucking time. And tonight, so Crow came over, we're hanging out at my place, it is a Sunday night, Sunday the 11th, June 11th.
Wow, your voice is cracking.
Thank you. I had puberty hit me like a ton of bricks. So we are hanging out. We're drinking some fucking beers, having a good time. I had an episode 35 beer earlier, bigger, longer, nice. And uncut.
36,
whatever. Is bigger, longer, and uncut. Double Bastard. So if you've heard of Stone Brewing Company, they have Arrogant Bastard. Then they also make Double Bastard, and then they also make Bigger, Longer, Uncut Bastard, which is the super deluxe triple bastard. Fucking smells like motor oil. Dude, and
he had
wooden
me
caskets.
Take a sip of it, and whenever I take a drink of alcohol, I always smell it. Before I take a shot, I always smell it. People are like, oh, you don't smell, but I don't give a fuck. I want to know what I'm getting into. I like having the smell. It's part of the aroma of taking the drink.
Hey, that's an important part of, you know, expensive drinks. Like
I do it with cheap shit, too. I mostly drink cheap alcohol. I'm not a fan of spending over-the-top money. Like, yeah, occasions are occasions, and I've had some fancy-ass drinks. But for the most part, I drink enough that I don't want to spend a ton of money on it, because I have my drinks I prefer. PBR, which you know. But anyways, I take a sip of this drink, and I smell it as I'm about to drink it. So at that moment, as I'm about to drink, it kind of like hits my nose, and my nose hairs start to burn a little bit.
Yeah, it singes.
Like, oh, right? Shit. Like, it's kind of caught me off guard.
It's kind of like Sex Panther. You know, it singes the nostrils. That's how you know it's working.
And taking a sip of it, it's like tastes more like, as if it's a liquor drink than it's beer. Like, so, it is.
Yeah,
I mean, not like it's like, oh my god, I took a shot. It's so intense. I took a shot, but it was just kind of like a, how the fuck is this beer anymore? This is just alcohol.
It is alcohol. So like last week, I don't know if I mentioned it, but there is this brewing company called what is it called? Dogfish Head. Dogfish Head.
Great name, by the way.
Yeah, it is a pretty great name. So they make some really weird beers. And anyone that's a beer enthusiast may know of them because of their 90-minute IPA or their 60-minute IPA, but also known as their 120-minute IPA, as in they dump their hops for a whole 2 hours, which is way more than necessary. They use way too many hops. They make it way more bitter than it needs to be. Anyways, this beer has like so much sugar getting eaten by all the fucking active yeast and all this weird, crazy shit going on. This beer that I had... costs $13 per 12 ounces. The 4-pack is discounted to $45 for 4 12-ounce beers. Fucking ridiculous. I get it. Like, listen, people listening is like, that is so stupid. Why would you ever pay that money? It's like, listen, this is like a birthday gift. It's like a once a year, once every 2 years, you want to buy something that you can hardly even find anywhere. But the kicker is that it's 16.5% alcohol in a beer, which is the most I've ever had in my life.
Didn't you say like the alcohol content actually fluctuates depending on what batch it is?
It is 15% to 20% depending on the outcome, because they're kind of just, I think they're just throwing shit in the barrel, you know? They're not even really taking measurements. They're just spending way too much money
like,
to make a beer.
It's like the end of the night, like the what's it fucking called? Like the whole punch where... The fuck, we just take everything, it's the
jungle juice.
Yeah, that jungle juice, or like the end of the night where you say all of the leftover booze, you throw it in a fucking bucket.
Oh, you make the suicide. Make the
yeah, there you
it's
go.
It's a suicide.
You make the asshole like, but in me, honestly, I would be that guy, be like, yeah, fuck it, I'll drink it. And so it just kind of feels like you're just throwing it all together and make it work.
Yeah. What beer have you guys had, though, that's actually over anything over 13%? The one I was drinking tonight, which is readily available, is 13%. And not saying that percentage matters so much, but it is
like
kind of
size matters.
It's kind of, yeah, but you know exactly, because sometimes you know you want 6.5 inches. You know that's like where that's
sometimes
that's,
you get a little more,
but sometimes
a lot of times you get a little less.
You just get, and, you know, sometimes you just get 4.2%, which is 4.5
sometimes
inches.
Sometimes you get rock hard. Sometimes I don't want to put a lot of effort into
but
it.
But sometimes you have that adrenaline rush of like, oh my god, this is gonna be 16.5 inches. I mean percent alcohol content ABV. So yeah, you just have this and you're like, it's kind of exciting to drink something so high alcohol. So anyways, point is, me and Crow tonight have been playing some fucking modern, playing some Frontier, drinking some beers, listening to some tunes, and now we're gonna move on to our introductions, how our week has been, and after that we'll jump on to some magic talk. And also E3, the Entertainment Expo is going on as we speak. So there is some exciting news from Microsoft about the Xbox and all that other bullshit. Also, last thing before we get into it, please, fellas and the sparse ladies that are out there, check us out on iTunes, because we want you to leave a comment. You know, we're not accepting your donations except for maybe some cards maybe or something, but no Patreon, none of the bullshit. Listen, totally free, but leave us a comment. You know, go to our website, iflandscouldkill.com. If you go to the podcast page, there's a little comment thing below. Like, send us something funny that'll be there forever. Because, yeah, you know, you comment us on Twitter, which is totally fine. I want you to do that. But if you leave a comment on one of these sites, then they'll be there forever, and we can just laugh at it every fucking day.
And you know what? Like, many, many episodes ago, we had a contest for sending us the best, like, a slogan for our cast. Hell, just go on to the fucking iTunes, reviews, to leave a comment for your personal slogan for our cast.
That's a good
like
idea.
Like, the hilarious
too.
Waste of time. Now, shit right, like it's, that. Like, it's something that will like catch the other assholes of this world, because there's a lot of us who might go like, oh, well, scrolling past some other magic things, you see this comment, fucking hilarious waste of time.
It'll
like,
relate
okay,
to you.
Yeah, maybe it hits that person. Help us out.
What do
we enjoy on the cast? We want to grow our listener base. We enjoy having interaction.
So what was that comment, that idea for our slogan, which was like, something in intelligence absolutely wasted. What was that one?
So much insight and intelligence absolutely wasted.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Not saying that we're smart, but we're doing all right. You know, life is good for us. So it is funny though, because we don't use it here.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And that's probably why you enjoy the cast.
Yeah. So Crow, why don't you, for like the first time in how long, why don't you take it away? We're gonna get through your last week, some cool, fun shit going on, and then we'll move on to me, and we'll move on to the boring shit. Guest.
So, I had a free credit to Redbox, and I, honestly, I watched the best movie of all time.
What do you mean by that?
Like,
literally your favorite movie of all time? Or
literally,
you think
the end-all, be-all, better than anything else ever made.
Wow. Is this going to be, is it made by Disney?
I'm also lying.
Okay, good. Good, thank God. I'm like, man, I'm like really on the edge of my seat. Like, what fucking movie did I miss out on?
Okay. Yeah, no, I was going to be hanging, but as soon as I said the movie title, I'm living out the fucking door, because there's no fucking way. So the whole reason, let me preface this, because I don't want to be judged for it. I don't give a shit about being judged in general, but I don't want to be judged for this movie, and saying, like, I would have spent money on this. No. I had a free credit after other rentals I used at Redbox, and I wasn't sure, because you have like a certain time limit for when your credits run out and you earn one. And I knew I probably had some time, but I wasn't sure, so I was like, you know, I'm just going to use it now, and so I don't lose the credit. So I rented The Great Wall, which...
That's Tom Cruise, right?
No, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Oh, dude, it is like, just, it's like, it's supposed to be based upon some Japanese lore of why the Great Wall was built.
That's China, right?
Yeah.
China,
excuse me, seriously.
You know what? Fucking...
Same difference.
It's whatever. Don't worry about it, dude.
I'm going to stop there. That's bad jokes.
You know what? Some fuck octopuses and some build iPhones.
Yeah. Tentacles. But yeah, I mean, like, sure, some of the fight scenes were interesting. They did some cool moves and blah, 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 blah. But in general, it was like, wow. What a piece of shit. I mean, without the magnet, nothing happens. A magnet is the savior of the day. So, just fuck
yeah, you. Yeah, fucking spoiler alert.
Jesus. I don't give a shit. Don't watch this movie. Not for free, not for money. Don't you know watch it.
That reminds me of the meme, the guy from the History Channel, where he's like...
aliens!
But instead it's like...
magnets!
Yeah, it's like... magnets. That's pretty much... That's the meme. That's the meme is the actual ending of the movie. So that means you don't need to watch it because you've seen the meme. So yeah, we're all good here.
It's bad, dude. It's like... And I wasn't going into it with high expectations. I was like, oh, you know what? Hopefully this is just a fun action flick. And for...
He's got a man bun, right?
Yeah.
That's another thing. The fucking top knot is where it's at. What up?
That's never a good choice. So yeah, it's just... It's nothing. Nothing I can say, give positive reviews of it at all. Like, there was spots here and there, like I said, of, like, interesting fight scenes. It was whatever. But the whole premise of the film and all the things that happened, it just don't fucking watch this movie.
Yeah, please don't.
So bad.
I'm on board already. I haven't even seen it. I'm fucking on board.
Look, I even wrote down in my notes, Great Wall, the best film ever.
The end all be all of all cinema.
I also rented, after returning that, and I had to watch something else. I had to get that piece of shit off my mind. So I rented Fist Fight. Which is Charlie Day. I don't have
a clue what the hell that is.
That's Ice Cube versus Charlie. Oh my god,
I do know what you're talking about. It's the teachers or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like the teacher fight after school thing. And again, if you want to like have a stupid laugh and not give a shit at all, which, you know, sometimes that's what you need. This isn't going to like hit your full tickle bone. You're not going to come out of it like, you know, with a bunch of laughing parts. There are some funny things. There are some over-the-top shit. It's kind of like, holy shit. And a couple things are okay. I would say like, you know, for a sit-down, don't pay attention to, like, play games while you watch a movie, it's a fun laugh. But in general, it's not
Would you
that
think
good.
It's, like, Horrible Bosses? Something like that?
I would say Horrible Bosses is better.
Okay, Horrible Bosses to me is, like, a fine movie, but yeah, not very
it's
exciting.
It's okay, there's some really funny parts, it's okay, like, whatever.
Okay.
So it's pretty much on that same line.
Fair enough.
If so,
you
yeah.
like that, you'll like this, hey.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, I'm not gonna, like, full-on hate on it, but there's nothing special about it. It just kind of is what it is. I also, this week, happened to go see with my dad and my son, we went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2 finally.
Fuck yeah, you did.
And boy, oh boy, that was a fun time.
Dude, it's not better than the first one, would you agree?
No, of course not, of course not.
But it is a fun ride.
But that's a hard thing to do. Like, when you have a movie that's so good, like the first Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't know anybody who has anything bad to say about that movie. The movie was just fantastic. It was hilarious, it was well made, everything about it was great. This movie, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, like, I felt like the storyline wasn't as good. I mean, like I get it with the whole dad situation was all played into and ready from the first movie, and so like what they were trying to do, I got the baseline there and it was okay. I don't think it hit the mark fully for, I don't know. It didn't hit you good enough for what it was doing.
Dude, I'll tell you this much though, that so I watched the movie like say 3 weeks ago or something like that, and opening weekend, and I mentioned on the cast, but I don't want to give anything away, and I'm not going to now really, but they did a lot of jokes. They did more jokes than the first one. But the thing is with that, when you send off 60 goddamn jokes into the audience, there's no way you're hitting 60 times. And so this time you're hitting 20 out of 60, and the first one you hit 20 out of 30. So that's where I had a problem with it, is a lot of the jokes were, okay, here's an example. Here's an example.
I wonder where you're going to go to, because I wonder if we're going to have a different opinion, because... Just go ahead.
I wanted to say that there's some parts of movies that there's a joke, and you know the joke's coming, and when the joke comes, they don't need to say what the joke is, because you're already ready for it.
Yeah.
And this example is the apple. Remember the apple? Chick that said that wasn't ripe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that was bad. That was the worst one.
So what
that
happened,
was like the corniness of the Star Wars
right.
version of
so
Darth
what,
Vader.
What corny. Happens is that they have this joke, and it's getting prepped. It's like ready.
Multiple times.
And then finally, the payoff happens, and they say the joke, and it's like, listen,
no,
the audience knows.
Yeah, have her bite it and then be done with it.
And be done with it. And is the audience, like, we already know what the joke is. Like, once the apple is shown, we know that that's the joke. That's the punchline.
It wasn't apples that threw me off for a second there.
Okay.
It was like a root something.
Right whatever. There. Either way. Yeah. So they have it, and she says the joke out loud, and it's like, you don't need to fucking say it. Like, we got it. We're not so dumb. Even as a widespread, has to hit all audience type of joke.
Because most people are fucking retarded. So.
But it's not even.
That's how lowbrow the joke was.
I know, and that's an example, a very strong example of if you see this movie, you know what I'm talking about. And it's like, God damn it, guys, could you have just made it smarter than that? Could you have just done one thing different to make it not so fucking obvious? It just makes it feel like a goddamn CBS sitcom when you just put it out there for every audience.
That was
audience
definitely
to enjoy.
The worst part of the movie. I kind of forgot about it because I blocked it out because there's a lot of other good parts on that movie.
Oh, a lot of good parts.
I mean, I did give it a half chuckle because you know it's coming. And so when she bites it and spits it out, I didn't laugh. All right.
Moving past it, I'm Mary Poppins' bitch is the best part.
Oh, God.
That was the best part. When you see the movie?
I'm Mary Poppins!
I'm Mary Poppins is the best part of the movie, and that's a fun time.
Which is great because I'm seeing this movie like 3 weeks late. So spoiler things happen a little bit here and there. I'm pretty good about blocking things out and not paying attention to shit. But I happened to see somebody, an MTG content creator, posted like a picture of one of the pop vinyl figurines. And it was, what's his name, fucking as Mary Poppins outfit. And so I'm like, well, that's interesting. And then I saw someone else make a Mary Poppins joke. Oh, the actual actor said something about, like,
right.
being Mary
Poppins.
Right,
I remember that. It was posted on Twitter or something. Yeah, absolutely.
And so I saw those, I'm like, okay, well, obviously something happens in the movie. And it's going to be funny. And, like, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to make sure I don't fucking hear anything else about it. Like, I get what's probably going to happen in a general sense. But when it actually happened, too, it was like, oh, goddamn, this is good.
It's funny. It's funny.
was he a badass?
Oh, he was the baddest of all the asses, bro.
I'm Mary Poppins.
Yeah, it was a good time. Great. So, anyways, Guardians of the Galaxy, solid 8 out of 10. 8.5 out of 10, maybe at most.
I definitely enjoy it.
The original is probably a 9 out of 10. It's probably like an 8 or 8.5.
What's the big dude's name, the fucking buff one?
I don't know his name, but he is funny.
God, man. I laughed way too hard too many times with him. Sorry. I laughed way too hard too many times with him because it just, I don't know, something about a base joke that's so simple, but it's just like this dude, like, over, he himself is so embellishing the laugh and the joke of it.
Oh, he's great. He's great. God,
I found it so fucking hilarious. Like, you're disgusting.
Yeah, that is super funny.
And, like, the best part in the fucking ship when they're on the way to the fucking planet, when the telepath girl, the empath, touches Star-Lord.
Yeah.
And she tells, like, the deepest, darkest secret to fucking...
Oh, yeah, from the trailer. It's from the, no one's giving it away because it's from the trailer.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, it says, like, that you're in love with her or whatever. Like,
you're madly in love with her. And he goes, ah, ha, ha, ha. She told your deepest, darkest secret.
His laugh is a solid, solid laugh.
I laughed for a solid 3 minutes, even as the next scene's still going on. Like, I was still laughing about that.
That's a good movie.
I love that guy.
Solid
that guy's
movie.
Hilarious.
The soundtrack, I gotta say, I'm way disappointed. We played it tonight. Fleetwood Mac, The Chain is an amazing song. Straight up fucking perfect song. And that was the heavy hitter of that soundtrack. But the rest of it... There, I listened to the whole soundtrack on the way home from the movie, and I was like, man, I'm only feeling 2 more of these songs. Like, 3 out of 13 or whatever, like, is all I'm feeling out of this soundtrack, you know?
I'd have to say I have to listen to the soundtrack myself then to really get that feel of what you're going for, because for me, like, obviously, like, they just hit it spot on in the first movie. Like, that was just fantastic, with the music and the soundtrack was just so perfect. I didn't have a noticeable upsetness like you're
no I wasn't yet. upset no but when going home when we were driving not during the movie but going home I was like, oh man, these songs are not, it does not live up to the first one, you know, and that's okay if it doesn't live up quite, but it didn't live up at all, so that was a bummer. Obviously the soundtrack is a big part of the movie, that's an obvious thing, so
because I know I found myself during the movie like dancing and singing the songs a little bit, like part of that was me having a good time with my son, like trying to get him to dance with me, so like maybe that was a little bit of my upper to it, but I enjoyed the soundtrack during the movie overall. So.
Right. But I just like, I don't know, the first one
I get what
is
you're
fucking
saying,
not to that park, man.
When you're at a fucking
Ain't no
tier
mountain
one
high
level,
enough, bro. Ain't no mountain high enough.
When you're at a tier one level, it's hard to fucking rematch that.
If The Chain was used in the first movie, and then they didn't use it in the second movie, I would have been like, oh, this is fucked. This is all fucking, this is wrong. You got all the good shit in the first one. I'm sorry. So, but The Chain by Flew and Mac, fucking amazing song. Go look it up. Or maybe I'll play it as the intro song. I don't know. We'll just figure it out, man. We got time.
We're supposed to sing for the outro.
We'll get there. What song?
Pokemon.
We'll get there. Stick around to the end, guys. So, what else you got, buddy?
Oh, baby girl. I'm very excited for Lego Batman movie is coming out in the next, like, 2 days. And I talked to you guys about it before when I went and saw it in theaters with my dad and my son.
Are you on DVD?
Yeah, it's coming out to own.
What is his name? Will something? Or
Will
no?
Arnett.
Will Arnett, there you go.
So I'm not actually a big fan of that actor, but he does a fantastic job in this movie. I love him in Arrested Development. After that, though, like, that's his character, and he tries to, like, And he was great in Arrested Development with that character, but then the rest of his roles, like, tries to emulate that same character in a particular, like, slight way or whatever, and it's just not good enough. And just, I find him very annoying.
There's actually a lot of comedians like that, dude. It just happens. It just happens.
And so it is what it is. So, like, I don't have, like, a pure hatred for the fucking guy, but I'm not a fan of him. But he does a great job in Batman, because he's also doing, like, a deep, gravelly voice the whole time. You don't really realize it's him, honestly,
yeah,
during the whole movie.
Understood.
So, you didn't see it, correct?
No, I did not see it.
So, I'm telling you, like, watching that movie, I put it on this very high pedestal. Part of that is experience of watching it with my son and my dad, and that was just a great experience from there. But the other part of that is the movie is fantastic. It is fucking hilarious. It goes into such depth of background of, like, villainous characters and, like, Condiment Man and things like that, all the way back in the Batman timeline. And the
all, the, all to the Adam West shit, rest in peace.
Yeah, Adam West, you know, gonna miss the mayor. And, like, you know, fucking, he's original Batman, all the jazz. And he's, you know, his
voice. Yeah, fucking
he's in the movie, too.
Dude, Ballpoint Banana, what's up, dude? what is that? What's yellow, and but also rights? And it's like, I got it, a Ballpoint Banana. And it's like, no, stop it.
No,
stop it, Adam West. That's ridiculous. So
good.
Stop making jokes like that.
And so, like, I legitimately put this movie in a top, I don't know how many numbers of my favorite movies of all time.
Just,
like,
give it a score out of 10, homie.
Out of 10?
Tom Porter is listening, and he wants your goddamn movie
for
review.
A baseline of that kind of movie, as far as a kid's movie that has adult jokes in it, things you're going to fucking like. You know how old cartoons were? They were made for kids to watch, but really, if you sat down and watched, like, the old cartoons, there's so many adult jokes that it's ridiculous, and that's half what made those cartoons so good. This goes back to that level. And so for me, for this type of movie, for a children's movie that is great for adults, it is a 10 out of 10.
Perfect.
Love the movie. Is fucking
so
fantastic.
Song Crow gives this movie a 10 out of 10, and everybody out there needs to watch this movie no matter what. So
if you have any love of the Batman
right
universe,
now,
go watch the movie
and go rent the DVD because it's already out. Because, you know, this fucking episode is super late. So
I'm very excited. I even asked for like an early Father's Day birthday present so I can watch with my son because I'm very excited.
Oh, dude, you have a Father's Day. You got
I
a
do.
Child,
it's
bro.
Weird. It's weird.
You're an adult male with a
yeah,
child.
Adult.
You made a fucking baby out of your sperm and her egg. That's amazing. Congratulations.
The crazy
Happy
thing
Father's
is,
Day.
He just had his final day of preschool, which means late August. So it's not even September anymore for school.
Homie's
school.
Going to kindergarten.
He's actually going to the same elementary school that I went to as a kid.
Having probably some of the same teachers, I bet.
I don't think so.
No, come on.
Well, I'm fucking,
I had the same
I'm turning 30 in like 3 weeks, dude.
Dude, I had the same math teacher as my mom in eighth grade. Yeah, Mrs. Jensen. Shout out to Mrs. Jensen. She was awesome. I used to stay after class and grade math papers with her. Mm. And I used to get this weird satisfaction. Yes, totally. I used to get this weird satisfaction over giving people Fs.
Looked in her boobs?
Oh, no. Sorry. She was old. Way old. Whenever I was grading tests and someone would get like a 55%, I'm like, yeah, they did. Fucking big ass red marker.
Make it feel
F,
bad.
Big circle on there. You fucking,
you're a loser.
You fucking idiot. Do some goddamn equations, you piece of shit.
Show your work.
That is an show your work, you fucking idiot. I for some reason I got like this weird satisfaction over people's failure. It was a very strange thing.
And that lives to this day.
And it still happens to this day. You know, this is a thing from the Rooster Teeth podcast. There's actually a word in German that means the satisfaction you get from recognizing someone else's failure.
Okay.
So whatever that is, I remember hearing that in the podcast like years back.
Windeschlagen, call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what it is. And no. I remember hearing that and going like, yeah, that's what I felt when I was eighth grader.
You're an
grading
asshole.
Papers. Oh, totally, totally. And it's not like I was a fucking math expert, but I do remember that I was, you know, man, I was super good at eighth grade math, everyone. Like, watch out, you know. I'm an eighth grade engineer over here. Watch out.
I always hated like elementary school and like early middle school. Like it was a whole big deal of like having to show your work. It's like I'm not using a calculator. You see me sitting here in class. I just was able to work it out of my head. I worked it out of my head better than writing it down.
Listen,
especially long division.
I 100% relate, and that's a problem though because as I was a student, I'm like I don't want to show my work. I know that I can skip steps in my head. Not show my work, not use the calculator as much as you know the rest of the class. I get that I can move past all that shit. But then I grow up and I'm like, as trying to be thinking as a teacher, I go, oh, shit. I kind of want to make sure people show their work. I'm more of the person that wants people to show work and get the answer wrong than get the answer right and show no work. Like, I'd rather people to show how they do it, and then if they get the answer right, that's cool. If they get the answer wrong, I can look at their work and go like, oh, this is the spot, but I'm really happy that you understand the rest of it. And I can see what the person is thinking and making sure that, do they get it or do they not get it? You know, and that's what, as an adult, I realize that's what I think. But as a student, I'm with you. I did not use my calculator at all. I was a stubborn little piece of shit, and I would like be good at math.
I'm using my calculator, but like, it's the show. I get what you're saying, and you're right. My only rebuttal to that is, if for me, I'm able to read people well enough. Or I get to know who they are and how they are things. And so, like, as a teacher, like, not to like boast myself up, but like in elementary school in third grade, I was reading. You know, they had all those tests and shit that you take.
You were reading at a fifth grade level.
I was reading at a college grade level in third grade.
Okay, well, that's pretty excellent. Good job.
And I'm not to like say I'm like some smart like motherfucker, but I'm not. I would say I'm above average intelligence.
This is the point of the podcast is that we fucking waste. All the gifts that are given to
There's
us.
There's the only things I could be doing. I don't want to fucking put the effort into it. So like it just at that point it's kind of like okay as a teacher you know who your students are. You know the ones who are actually dumbasses who actually really need help. You know there's the ones who are like kind of in between or kind of getting kind of not. And you have the ones who are like the overachievers on things. I may not have been like an overachiever doing extra work because I just fucking was bored. Because even at that age I was like fucking past that point of going like, I'm just bored with this. So. If you pay attention to who the students are, and you know fucking, okay, this kid fucking gets it, why don't I show my work to you anymore? If you understand that you know that I know it, I'm putting it down. Like, why don't I don't want to put the extra time for no fucking reason.
Right,
I'm going to go A to B, and I'm going to go A to Z. I'm not going to show you how I got through.
So
got there.
As
the answer's right, isn't it?
As a teacher, though, they're not trying to pinpoint that kind of person. They're trying to make sure that they got to grade 30 people's tests.
I get
you want
it,
to make sure that they can evaluate each person properly, which means that everyone needs to show their work, so that they can really pick out
I guess I just pick up more and remember who people are.
Yeah.
So if you're not, you're basically saying that she didn't pay, like the teacher didn't pay attention enough to recognize what kids were good at things.
No.
Because even if you're seeing that kids need work, you're only then marking down the ones who are not getting it and only helping them. If you're not paying attention to the ones who actually get it, like you should be using those kids who get it to help the other kids to help you teach because you're already getting overslammed by 30 kids in a classroom. That's a lot of kids for one teacher to teach. If you have your five other kids who are fucking excellent at it, use those kids to help the other kids.
Yeah, they would do what they would do that too, though. So let me tell you something. So SATs, right? Okay. SATs, senior year, junior year, whatever the fuck it was in high school. I'm sure everyone listening to this, please be at after high school. Make sure you're not getting influenced by us, because this shit is just not good for someone that's 15 years old. So anyways, so SATs. I took them hungover. I remember I was at a party. I stayed overnight, and in the morning, my mom called and said, where the fuck are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm out with my friends at whatever. I was actually at a girl's house, but I was like, oh, my bad. I'm over here, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know, your SATs are like 8:30. And I'm like, holy fuck. I'm like, okay, no problem. I'm going to catch a ride. We're all good. You know, I'll be over there. So I get to the place, which is really funny because the classroom I took my test in was one of the chicks from the party I was at. And I was like, hey, and the first time meeting her. So I was like, oh, what up? I think her name was Kelly. I think. Yeah, her name was Kelly. I'm like, oh, Kelly, what up, dude? That's crazy. So anyways, I took this test, the SATs. It's half English, half math. 800 points each. 1,600 point total. I know that the past, 8 years has been 2,400 points total. And I'm not sure how that works out. But anyways, mine was 1,600 points. 800 per category. So I remember that I got a, like, 780 out of 800 in math. Right? Ooh. Somewhere thereabouts. I remember getting a letter from some person.
The president.
Yeah, I don't know who the fuck it was. Some person sent me a letter saying, like, congratulations on your top 1% in the nation score, blah, blah, blah. I don't fucking, you know, who cares? Listen, honestly, who gives a shit? This means nothing to me. But I remember getting that letter. Okay, so that's great, right? Everyone's like, oh my god, fucking hot sauce knows some maths. Good for him, man. Fucking
put your English, let's get the English.
X equals Y, great. So I got my English score, seriously, and you can recognize this from the cast, I got a 390 out of 800.
So
I got
your score like shit.
I got literally like bottom 40% of the nation, counting like podunk, fucking shitty have no teachers that don't know shit. I got like the worst thing ever. It's reading comprehension. Like you read the paragraph and answers questions that are out of the paragraph.
That's the problem that you did. Dude, you read the paragraph. You shouldn't read the paragraph. Even,
listen, dude.
It's not what you do to take a test like that.
I don't give a fuck what it is.
Read the questions and then go find the answer.
Listen, I did that. It doesn't make a difference. It's all bad. I suck, bro.
You don't have time. It's a timed. You can't read the whole fucking thing and then go through those.
I get that.
You go to the answer.
I get that. That question 1 through 3 is the top paragraph. Question 4 through 6 is the second.
And they mix a couple around.
I get all that. I'm just way too dumb with English. Like, I'm so bad. I've gotten nothing but C's forever in English. English is the only class that I've had to take in summer school. I've never had to take any other class in summer school, but I had to take English over because I had my one and only D I got in like sophomore year, and I had to fucking take it. So that just goes to show you that, like, listen, trust me with my measurement, but don't trust me fucking writing an essay or a paper or an article or like. Even my just speaking in this microphone right now, my English language is fucking poor. I'm like someone that learned English at 16 is what I speak like right now. Like I understand that. I recognize it.
Foreigner.
Maybe I shouldn't do a podcast. Maybe I should fucking do like, I don't know, make just regular YouTube Let's Play videos. I have no idea. But it was pretty funny seeing that letter and then seeing the other thing of like, wow, you are the worst person at your school. You know, great job, you know. So it was a good time. It was a good time.
Well, it's funny, yeah. For me, for that situation, I was so bored with teachers not giving a fuck. Teachers coming in and literally just handing out pamphlets. Not teaching anything, just here's a pamphlet, here's a workbook, do the work. And then they'd sit there and have their TA grade it. So the teachers weren't teaching you shit. I was done with it. I was so tired of it. I was past dealing with the crap and all that shit. And so I was just, I raised my stink about it. I mean, different teachers, this and that, basically said fuck you too. Because I brought it up like, this is bullshit. You want to do this fucking pamphlet, you're not teaching me a fucking thing. Like, no. I'm not doing this fucking workbook because fuck you.
Yeah.
So at the end of sophomore year, I actually tested out of high school. You don't get the results till like 6 months later. So I had to go to half my junior year, but I kind of didn't really go. I just kind of kept skipping and going back home, not going to school.
Yeah, okay.
So it's essentially taking the SATs as it goes to test out. So like you get a math test, you get an English test, and if you're scoring.
It's not SATs, but it's something like it. There's another name. It's like CATs.
I didn't walk with my class, but I don't have a GED, which is what you would get. Like it's like a lesser than a high school diploma. I have the actual high school diploma. It's right. The same thing. I just happen to test out and skip a year and a half.
I have a shit ton of friends that have that. Like a lot of the guys I used to hang out with in, you know, that graduating class, that, you know, junior, sophomore year of high school, I got like 10 friends that didn't walk with us. They just like... Yeah. Were smart, like everything was totally fine with them, but yeah, they had like issues with the program and just didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And were like working, they decided to just work 40 hours a week at whatever retailer or whatever the hell it was, and would just, and the same thing, all of them don't have a GED, they all have what the
it's actual high school, it's actually a high school diploma.
But they all have that too, but they're just like, I don't give a fuck about this program, and they all left.
Yeah.
It was really, it's interesting, because back then, when you're 17, 16, you're like, that's not good. Like, that's not a good thing. You guys should all get diplomas. Like, this should be a thing that just high schoolers do. And then as an adult, you're like, oh, I get it. Like, it's just, the fucking system kind of sucks sometimes. There's not enough money getting put into the school system. Kids are fucking smart, but getting treated as dumb. And anyways, there's a lot of problems with it. And it's just interesting that these people that I know that are successful, everything's fine. They've even moved on to college. Got diplomas and fucking bachelors of science and all this shit, but they just gave up on high school once they, what you said, after sophomore year, they're like, I don't give a fuck about this. This is terrible. I don't like this. And they moved on, and then they still were successful. So it's funny.
A lot of it like stems to your teachers in a sense. Like in my entire schooling career, for how many teachers I had between elementary to middle to high school and even in college, I only had, say, I don't know the number. Let's say there's like 25 teachers. I don't know the real number is.
Listen, I don't either. Let's just make up a number. It's fine.
Three of them I actually fucking enjoyed. Three of them actually taught me something. Three of them, and one of them was actually this dude, Mr. Bellinger, math teacher in high school, and he was just super beyond strict. And my first fucking interaction really with him, like in this class, I knew he was strict. Go in this class, and you know, a couple weeks into the school, and there was some project thing where we had to like bring coins in a plastic bag in, or doing some like fucking project, and as I was sitting down in the class, everybody in the fucking class was like bouncing their coins off the desk and making all kinds of fucking noise, just tons of noise. So finally, as the bell rings, he chimes up, he goes, "Okay, enough, put your coins away. Next person who has coins bouncing, getting attention." Well, I can't hear him because I have four people around me just fucking making all shit ton of noise. So I don't actually, I'm not like pulling mine out and making a bunch of fucking, you know, playing around with them. I literally just pull them out of the bag and put them on the table. He goes, that's it. You're getting fucking attention. And so I said I would call him a fucking Nazi. This is my teacher.
Probably
this
not is the my... best move, no matter how you felt about him, but go on.
Well, I was pissed, and it was bullshit, and I'm not one for getting fucked over when I didn't do anything wrong, and I stand up to that.
I'm gonna go in the realm that say that you were wrong in that situation, but let's move
on. Well, no, I was far. It was too far, and especially because I didn't know it at the time, but he's actually Jewish, so it made it that much worse. So, I call him a fucking Nazi.
That makes
it
okay, actually. I don't mind that at all.
I called him a fucking Nazi, walked out of the room, had the detention, had a teacher conference, this and that, you know, or told my dad this and whatever. But from there on, because I like talked to him, stood up to him, had a like, conversation with him, I apologized for calling him a Nazi, because I honestly, it was just kind of like, I was calling him a Nazi for his strictness level and his over-the-topness with it. I wasn't calling him because he's a Jew and trying to, you know, go at him like that. It was a mistake to call him, you know, especially with him being Jewish, it was a mistake. I apologized for that. After that, like, we all had to have math notebooks, and even if you missed the day, you had to get your homework from somebody else in the class and do it. And every 6 weeks period, he would check literally everybody's every single page to make sure you've done all the work. And if you didn't, like, you'd get big markdowns for it. Got to the point where me and him had such a good relationship, and he was such a good teacher, and I knew what the fuck was going on, that he'd, like, take my book and just flip through it. And like, without even really looking at the pages, kind of go, and be good with it. So I started, like, using that to my advantage, and, like, doing half the work, and not really doing things in the good way with it. So after the first 6 weeks in that little period, I got like a B. So that was A+ the rest of the fucking semester, the rest of the year. He was one of my best teachers I've ever had. Other than that, I didn't have very good teachers. I had a bunch of people who didn't give a fuck, and me being more mentally advanced than maybe some kids my age, I said, fuck you, I'm done with this.
I'll tell you, my favorite teacher throughout my high school year, or 4 years, was he ended up getting fired because he had sexual intercourse with a 16-year-old female.
Do you blame him?
I don't like that, but he was a super fun teacher, and I guess he used to like to have a lot of fun after school, too.
So, see where these girls dress now?
I remember seeing him, he was in the paper, and you know, or whatever, the paper, like I get the paper, yeah. But you know, whatever internet site, I have no idea. Anyways, I saw his name, and I'm like, no, bro, come on, you're the best, you're the funniest, best teacher, man. He was an English teacher, too,
yeah.
But he was just so fun. And he was, like, serious, like, he wanted people to learn, and he would kick people out of school, or out of the class, for sure, if they were goofing off. But I just enjoyed his teaching style.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he had sex with a minor, and that's a bummer. I'm a little upset over that. I wish the guy didn't do that, because I really enjoyed everything that he gave towards the class. So that was kind of a fucking bummer. But I guess maybe that also tells something about personality. I have no idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Maybe we knew something about each other.
You're too young to realize he's a pedophile.
Yeah, pretty much. So, anyways, yeah, what else? What else you got going on?
So
school's great, kids. Stay in school.
Yeah. Right now on Xbox One, they have the Xbox Club or Xbox Gold Club, whatever it is.
It's just when you pay the monthly fee, right?
You pay, like, $10 a month, you have, like, access to, like, right now it's, like, 100 games or whatever. So most of them are shit. A couple of them are actually okay. There's a couple of AAA titles in there as well. Anyways, I had never paid for it. And first off, like, when I first saw it, I looked into it and tried to find what games were on there. And it was such a difficult task to even, like, get the information for what games were available.
Right.
I feel like that's part of, like, they don't want you to really see how many bad games are there, so they, you know, hopefully just get you into the program first. Well, right now, they have, like, a 14-day free trial until, like, another couple days from now. And so it's like, oh, it's like any like, Gamefly, like, subscription where you get a free trial and then automatically charges you. So I just say, okay, free trial, 14 days, and then right after that, immediately went to my subscriptions and canceled the payment one.
Okay.
So I went in there, I downloaded Blood Bowl. It's a football, like, strategy game where it's like a chessboard type thing, like a Fire Emblem, where it's, you can move a certain amount of spaces each time.
Okay.
And so you're trying to score touchdowns, so it just puts it in the football
game. I've never heard of this before.
It's a game that for years I've looked at and, like, been interested in, but never, like, paid the money for, because it's an older game. It wasn't well represented as far as servers go. I wasn't, like, I kept hearing, like, if you want to play this game, play it for the campaign, because to get a multiplayer game, one, barely anybody plays this game anymore. Two, their servers have problems.
So it's Blood Brawl.
Blood Brawl, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, the aspect that originally made me interested in it is, fuck, I can't remember that Sega game, the football game on Sega, where it was, like, all about, like, orcs and different things, and you fucking knock people's heads
off
and shit.
Not even close. No, I have no idea.
Oh, my God. It's one of my favorite
Sega games. I remember Blitz on the N64. And
great
that
game,
fucking,
too. That tore me up. I don't remember what game that is on Sega. It was one of the best fucking Sega games.
Okay, no, I have no idea.
So, like, you know, it had that similar feel of, like, this orcs and other, like, elf creatures and things like
it's
that.
It's a strategy game, but football. But yeah. Not being strategy as far as NFL.
No. It's more like whatever. A Fire Emblem. It's a turn-based strategy game.
Gotcha.
So I downloaded that. It's the first time I downloaded it. I played it for a little bit. And overall, the game was fine. It wasn't, like, overly fantastic. I feel like it was trying to be too intricate for some of the things it was doing. So I didn't feel like putting a lot of effort into learning the different things. I played just a couple games and was like, okay, this game's okay. I'm glad I didn't buy it, basically. Other things I downloaded on there, though, was Mad Max.
Mad Max 3. No, I'm thinking of Max Payne. Mad Max. The movie.
Yeah. So, originally, I was pretty excited for this game when I first saw, a GameStop that had, like, the upcoming games fucking, like, you know, things on there. And at that point, I hadn't heard they were making the new movie. So I was just stoked, like, oh, fuck, they're making, like, a throwback Mad Max game? Like, fucking sweet. Because in theory, like, you could make a really good game like that. And so I was excited about it. Then I heard the next movie was coming out, and they're making the actual movie. I was like, fucking, I was really excited about that. I think the movie's fantastic. We talked about it before. It's a great movie.
Great movie.
From there, I was a little bit disappointed, going, like, okay, well, now it's going to be, like, a movie-based game, which usually games that are come out with the movies are pushed out too quickly and are shit. So I didn't actually buy them. I never ended up buying the game. I heard, like, you know, a lot of mixed reviews, a lot of, like, fun. The people had a lot of fun with it, but it was basic and, like, not, you know, a lot of glitch problems. But I was pretty excited. Like, it's on the Xbox Club deal. So I downloaded that. Problem is, I can't play more than 5 minutes of it.
Because
after the initial opening credits and getting into the storyline, which is, you know, pretty cool opening credits, cool little scene. Graphics are okay, not top tier by any means, but they're fine. You go to play it, and the first thing you have to do is follow your dog and find some water. Go over to the water dish, fill your canteen up, and you have to hold up on the D-pad to drink your water. Game glitched. Willing to drink the water.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, that sucks. Okay. And I keep hitting the button, trying to figure out all the things. I'm like, and it's not like me missing the action. Like, it's on
it
the screen.
You, it prompts you to tell you. It's telling you what to do.
Once you scoop the water in the canteen, you can no longer move until you drink the water. So now I'm like, well, this is shitty. So I'm like, okay, well, nothing will work. I'm hitting all these buttons. I'm pausing it. I'm doing all these things. I'm exiting the home screen, getting back into the game, trying to do anything like to unlock a glitch, and I get it past that. Nothing works. So I'm like, okay, well, I delete that save file, redo the fucking opening scene, go back to that spot. Again, glitch. Won't let me drink the fucking water. And that was it.
That's
wow.
You know what? That's the most outstanding game review I've ever heard.
That was like, wow. Like, because I was pretty, you know, decently excited to play. I wasn't going into it with super high expectations. I'm a fan of the Mad Max universe. I love those movies. And the idea of, like, you know, doing this desert fucking, this wasteland, and, like, getting your vehicle and all those, like, race kills, all kind of shit. Everything about it seemed like I'm excited for this, like, double-A game and being okay with what it's going to be.
I think they call it double-A. She's like, not triple-A.
Nah.
It's double-A. It's a double-A.
And I literally can't get past drinking the water in the canteen.
That's a pretty big disappointment. Bummer. Bummers!
My last little fucking thing for my week here is, do you ever see a game called ReCore? I talked about it briefly.
Yes, okay. I do know what ReCore is.
Okay.
And it's like, it has a little dog too, right?
Yeah, a little mechanical dog. Yeah. Did you ever play it or seen a gameplay
of it? No. You saw a gameplay of it. I never played it.
So
it was on E3 a year ago or 2 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, and at that same time, Technomancer was coming out. It was announced last E3. And I haven't played Technomancer either. It's a similar kind of feeling. It was an RPG feel. So Technomancer, I can't really get into it. That one I'm excited for. I'm going to play that eventually. But again, that's another one that's dropping a lot of price. So ReCore was on sale for like $10 at Christmas. So I was like, you know what, Mom? I'm like, hey, I want this for $10. I haven't played it yet until this past week. Turn it on, download it. And honestly, I really like the game. It is a more basic RPG-ish type of game, but it takes you back to... I love in-depth Skyrim, super in-depth RPG open-world games.
And Fallout and whatnot.
I'm a huge fan of those. But sometimes you want something a little more simpler and basic. Something you don't have to get too mentally involved in. Something that's got touches of RPG elements to it. This game, it's just fun. It's straightforward. It's got solid graphics to it. It's, you know, all the movements are good. There's no, like, glitchiness to it. It's smooth. it's not gonna it doesn't have like the best like fucking over the top graphics, but it's smooth. It has a decent storyline that's building. I've only played maybe 5 hours of it so far, but it's got this basic storyline where you basically went on a ship and going to hypersleep, and you wake up and you wake up late, and it's like 60 years later, and you're going to this place called Far Eden, which is basically like Earth 2, but now as you wake up, the whole planet is like desolated by sandstorms. And so it's like a borderland Mad Max feel of this desolate wasteland situation.
Okay.
But there's all these core bots that are around. And you face like things that basically have like the form of a spider or like there's wolf type beasts and things like that. And you go around with your companion. And you like it has like assist aiming to it where you kind of hold the trigger down. And you're shooting at them. And you kind of move around with it, and like it'll move off if you don't want to keep that same area. But it has a heavy aim assist to it.
Okay.
From there, you're able to use special attacks with your dog. And then the other thing that's just... It's nothing, like, super in-depth. But then, like, you're able to, like, basically extract the other... Like, the beast cores you're fighting against. So, like, you're basically fucking, like... You get them down a certain amount of health. You fucking, like, fish hook them. And you do, like, a tug-of-war kind of thing. And you rip their fucking core out. And you get their core. Which then you use to upgrade your...
So it's like you're the core, the currency you get from defeating enemies.
Yes. And then, so, like... So... It's kind of a base level game. It takes you back to a simpler game, but in a good way. And then from there, it also has these elements of it gives you a little like green arrow for like where you're supposed to go, like a little like where your objective is. But between that is multiple areas of like these, these platform. It's like a platform type of situation where it doesn't like tell you, well, this is where to go or whatever. Like sometimes you have to like kind of figure out, okay, I have to get this awkward little ledge I can't kind of really see if I don't like pay attention to it. And, like, jump to there, and then, like, jump over here. And it has, like, a double jump effect, and then you can also dash midair. And there's also these, like, ring energies which will, like, reset your jumps as you're going around. So it makes it, like, a half-platformer mixed with an RPG
okay. And
a baseline. So it's just simple and fun. It's not over the top, but it's run smooth. It has a decent storyline.
I don't want to play those games all the time, but yes, I do understand that if every once in a while it's good to have a game to relax with. Yeah. And not get all fucking tense and distraught over, like, your inventory and making sure you're making the right choices. Yeah. Like, it's a lot more simple than that. So I get that. That makes sense.
So, I mean, you're still, like, gathering gear pieces and finding more rare items to upgrade yourself and upgrade the dog or your companion and make them stronger attacks and all kinds of different body outfits. You can change the way your dog, your companion looks with the robot pieces you give to him. So I really enjoy it. It's just, like I said, it's a basic, more of a basic time of the game. And it's just fun. It's just basic fun.
Beautiful. So speaking of dogs, I rescued a dog. Dog hospital this week that I was at work. And so my job site is two levels. There's the freeway level, and there's the bridges above the freeway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Freeway's going one way. Bridges are obviously perpendicular to it. They fucking go across on top of the bridge, right? So... I drive the vehicle, I get up top to do some work, whatever, and I see this fucking little, like, it's kind of like a Sheltie, Collie, fucking looking dog, whatever, kind of like a Corgi, but, like, way bigger and longer legs, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I see this thing running around in the streets, like, fucking traffic everywhere, and I'm like, okay, this is bad. I don't want, what the hell is going on here? Like, no owner around? Okay, it sucks. But it has a collar, it has a name tag I can see, like, you know, from a distance. So I fucking park the vehicle... I get out, trying to, like, get the dog's attention. Dog's running all over. It looks super scared.
Yeah.
It looks friendly. It looks super fucking scared. Vehicles are stopping. I'm trying to chase it down or whatever. And then it runs down the off-ramp of the freeway, like, towards oncoming traffic.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Not in the middle of it, but, like, on where you'd... The service area where you'd park if you had a flat tire. And it's sprinting down that. And I'm like, God fucking damn it, dog. Like, I'm trying to help you, you piece of shit. And it runs down, and I'm like, all right, I'm not going to run into traffic, you know, while I'm working. But I'm like, all right, I'll just, like, hang out here for a second, see what the hell happens. I see it come back. I'm like, oh, sweet, sweet, okay, cool. So I chase it down again, and the dog runs over to these, you know, high schoolers or whatever. They're on the street corner just trying to cross the street. They're just doing whatever the fuck teenagers do. And it approaches one of the guys, and the guy grabs its collar and is, like, you know, petting it and saying what's up. And the dog, like, seems super cool. So I grab some, basically some rope that I have on the truck that I have, and I go run over there, I grab the fucking dog, I'm like, hey, thanks a lot for, you know, grabbing the dog, I've been trying to chase this ding down for a few minutes, and I put the rope on it around its collar, like a leash, you know?
Yeah.
And then, this lady that was there, she was cute, but she also looked like way tore up from drugs. Like, she looked like a chick that has been doing drugs for like 10 years, but just got sober. So she's like super nice.
Just getting her health and
she seems super
fullness
sweet,
back.
Super nice, super like genuine. But you just look at her and you're like, man, you were cute like 5 years ago. I guarantee it. And anyways, but she was like, hey, you know, she was also like chasing the dog with me, kind of. And she's like, oh, it's my day off of work. Like, you want me to like take care of it and like call the number and like figure it out? And I'm like, please. Be a hero to this dog. Like, you know, I would love, I gotta go back to work. So, like, please take control of this. You know, call the number. Whatever you can do, this, you know, I would appreciate it. The dog would appreciate it. Please just, like, save this fucking dog's life.
She took it to a fucking Chinatown and sold it for
food. Maybe they sold it for food. I have no idea. But either way, it felt good, though. I felt, like, you know, emotionally excited. Like, I just got, like, this moment of, like, being proud, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was at work, but I fucking chased down this dog and put a leash around it and handed it off to somebody that I, in that 5 seconds, I felt like I trusted, and then everything was cool. So that was my dog hospital for the week.
I'm proud of you for not being one of those idiots who, an example would be, swerves to miss a squirrel.
Right.
Puts their own life in danger to miss a fucking squirrel. I'm proud that you didn't fucking run through traffic and you were smart about it.
No, I didn't. I waited. I was like, I can't fucking this. I also felt that if I chased the dog, it wouldn't make any difference. The dog would probably run faster, so. But yeah, it was still scary though. I felt like bad. I really didn't want to see a dog get hit.
Of course.
So when I was on a motorcycle ride like long time ago, like 8 years ago or something like that, and I remember stopping on the side of the road, you know, kind of meeting up with my friends, and we're all taking a break from the ride because we already did like 70 miles or something like that. And this dog that we didn't wait, I don't know where the fuck it came from. But this dog came out of nowhere. It's probably like 100 feet from us. And right away, it just darts in the middle of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And the traffic, it's like a one lane road in the middle of fucking nowhere, in the middle of the desert.
People are flying.
People are flying, doing like 70 miles an hour, and this fucking guy just nails his dog. Like, just fucking hits the back half of it, probably breaks both of its legs. You hear the noise of the dog getting hit. And that still lives with me. I'm like, oh man, that fucking sucks. But I never chased after it. I just saw it for like 3 seconds, and then it fucking got hit. And I was like, holy shit. Luckily, the person behind, not the person that hit him, the person that hit him just fucking ran off like a dick. But the person that was following that vehicle, the person behind that vehicle, they stopped, picked the fucking dog up, threw it in their truck bed, and fucking drove off. And I'm like, that's a hero right there, you know? But hearing a dog get hit at, like, freeway speeds is, like, mortifying. I fucking hate that shit, you know? I'm not the biggest animal person in the world. I'm not really a big fan. I wasn't a fan until being with, like, a significant other that had animals. Then it can grow on me. But I never really had dogs growing up and shit. Like, my family did, but it wasn't my dog. I didn't really care too much. So, but hearing shit like that, it puts something in you that you got to do something about it. My chick, too, like, she fucking, if we're driving around and, like, there's a dog loose in the street, she tells me to pull over, and she goes and find, you know, goes grabs that dog. And I sit there, and we all get together, and we call the owner, we call the fucking cops, we call whoever to come pick that dog up. You know, and we don't leave until it's taken care of. Mm. So, I'm pretty proud of my chick, and it's put something into me to make sure that when I see something, I stop and do it. So my dog hospital this week is potentially saving a dog's life or turning it into Chinese food. I don't know.
Yeah, good for you.
So that was it. Okay, talk about a game, right?
Yeah.
Game. You ever heard of Clank, board game?
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. I like that.
It's the marble one.
No, it's not.
I know. So, I've heard that. I feel like I've played it. I know. Fucking describe it for me real quick, because I know it.
So.
Kerplunk is what I was thinking of.
Oh, no, that's not it. So our mutual friend, God bless you. God bless you again.
Stop blessing
me. I'm going to bless you much.
I don't bless
you. No, God is all over you right now.
I will not give you shit.
Your soul is going to go to heaven.
Me. I'm going to give you shit for blessing me. I don't believe in it.
Your soul is going to go to heaven.
I don't have a soul.
It's going to heaven, though, no matter what.
I'm a devilish bastard.
So Clank, our mutual friend Ian was like, our little red-headed fucking ginger friend, he was like, hey, I got a game.
You mean Dr. Nozick?
Dr. No-Dick. So he's like, hey, I got a game I want you to come over and play with us. And I'm like, okay. It's a board game, but it's also a deck-building game.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, Magic, you know, everyone out there listening right now, hello, Magic the Gathering is kind of our game. Deck-building is kind of a thing. So it's sort of like... you're drafting. It's like a game. It's a board game where you do movements with the cards that you pick up. But the cards you pick up are based on... man, it's strange. Like, so you start off with 10 cards. And everyone starts off with the same 10 cards. You shuffle those 10 cards up. You draw 5. And then those 10 cards... those 5 cards that you've drawn, 5 cards... they have things on the cards that say, like, attack or movement or whatever. So the movement is, like, how you move your puzzle piece across the board. The attack is, like, how you fight enemies in the dungeon, because it's kind of like a dungeon crawler game.
Yeah.
And you move on from there. And whenever you, like, if you fight something, or if you collect gold from fighting something or discovering things in the dungeon, you're able to buy things. And when you buy things, that gives you points that you get to earn for later when you actually, like, defeat the, when you actually complete the game and you count up your points. Or you're able to buy things to make your game easier, or you buy new cards to throw in your deck. So you start with 10 cards, then you play the first little, you know, roundabout. You buy a card off of this little, they have like 5 heads up cards. Now. And then, you know, one of those cards will be like, oh, it's this card provides 3 movements, which is like a big deal. Usually a card provides like 1. I'm going to buy that card with my gold that I have this turn, or my whatever I have this turn, my mana I have this turn. Okay, I'm going to buy that card. You throw it in your discard pile. When your library runs out, which is only 10 cards to begin with, which is, so it means 2 turns, 5 and 5, runs out, you get all your cards, all your discard pile, you shuffle it up, you put it back in your library, you draw 5 more. Yeah. And so now maybe some of those cards you picked up from the store, basically, you get to bring those out, and now you have more movement.
Is this your first experience of playing this type of game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so... Like this one has there's a little difference in what you're describing, because there's actually a board that you're moving around. Typically, so deck building games are becoming a big thing.
As far as tabletop,
there is Marvel Universe versions of it. There is Star Wars version of it. I'm not sure if it's Star Wars or not, but there's Marvel. No, it's DC. I don't know. But the main one I started playing, because there's actually one that you can play on an app, which is why I was looking at my phone and I was trying to find it, because I had it on my phone.
Okay. You don't have it right now, though.
So it is the same thing where... Basically, there's a middle pile. You have an original shuffle pile, which isn't usually actually... It's the same. It's basic. It's nothing. Like it's cards that you want to discard eventually, not actually be in your library anymore.
Because they're very basic.
Yes. So you start with those, and as each turn goes, they give you a bonus here, a bonus to do this. Some have attack points. Some have this. And, like, there will also be, like, cards you can, like, get from the middle pile that will be, like, a base. And so you have, like, a base that gives your particular, like, color of a team, like red, yellow, and blue teams. The more synergy you have, the more synergy... your deck will get as you go along. So, like, out of the middle pile, say you're going for yellow, you'll go for more of a yellow card over, say, a red card based on what the synergy is of it. And so, like, there's also big base cards where you have to, like, attack the base first before you can do damage to the player anymore.
Okay.
So, like, this is a different take on that kind of deck building game. I'll show you, because there's an app for this game. I started off playing with it. I'm blanking on the name right now. I apologize for that. But it's a lot of fun, and the deck building is like that are a good time. So
it's a good time, man. I was like having when I heard the rules, I was like, I don't fucking understand. And I played it, and by the end of literally game one, I was like, yeah. I got it. I understand what's going on. Like, this all makes sense. It's hard to build a strategy from obviously the first time you've ever played a game,
yeah.
But it felt easy to pick up after playing the first game, and then I rock and roll and fucking go for it. It was good though. So it's called Clank, and that's really so like you have like. It's a dungeon crawler, so it's like dragons attack you, attack your team. You pull dice out of this little fucking bag, and like whatever color dice you pull out will represent if it's just like neutral or it's one of the players like me or the other two guys playing with me or whatever. I think it's maximum 4-player game. It's like 2 to 4 players or something like that. And you run down the dungeon and like you run through like the building and then you go underground and then you pick up these items that give you the loyalty points or whatever the fuck they're called for like what determines who wins the game. You pick up these fucking points and then you have to run out of the fucking dungeon, and if you don't make it out then you don't get like the bonus, or maybe you just literally die. You can die in the game and then you just don't get anything or whatever. Like it was interesting.
It sounds very like very typical, very similar to what I'm talking about, like, as far as baseline.
I bet it's fucking like way popular, honestly.
The deck building games, honestly, I'm gonna find that one I was playing before, because it's also a card game and it's also an app, so you can play a campaign and you can play multiplayer on your phone, and it's the same kind of game. But with these versions, it's you versus a player, so you're trying to take their life total down to win, versus a dungeon crawler. So that's unique for that. I haven't played that particular style of it, but the baseline is exactly
what you're talking about. When you do escape the dungeon, if you escape it and you actually get to like straight up, you just get out of the building or castle, whatever the fuck that the thing is. Then there's a timer that starts, and there's 4 turns. For everyone to get out, and if in 4 turns, so I'm out. Say I escaped, I collected whatever loyalty and gold and whatever else. I start the clock. 4 more turns go by. If they don't get out, then they die. And if they die, they like lose certain things.
Yeah,
and they get some points, but basically, if you die, you're pretty much not going to win.
Yeah,
so that's how that works out. There's like multiple elements to it, but It's something, I think it's $60 for the board game, so it's kind of expensive. But it was a good fucking time. So I want to just mention that to people out there. It's a deck building game. You guys never heard of this shit for fucking board games, and you play Magic, you love drafting, because it feels a lot like drafting. But it's just that everyone sees the same cards at the same time, but when it's your turn, you get first pick, and then whenever you pick a card, you pull off the deck and you replace it. So it's kind of interesting that way. Anyway, it's a good time. So it also feels like every turn you have something to do,
yeah,
which is pretty cool. They have these little added bonuses where, like, if you have these attack points and there's nothing to attack, there's always this goblin card that's on the side of the board, and you can spend your attack points to attack the goblin that's always there as many times as you want, and it'll just give you 1 gold per attack, blah, blah, blah. So it's something that, like, whenever you get your 5 cards, even if they're not great, and you just, by luck of the draw, you don't get exactly what you want, you still have something to do, and it was cool. We played 2 games, and I got 2nd place the first time, and I got 1st place the 2nd time, so that felt good, you know, just right off the bat, doing okay.
You're
so.
Always, between me and you, we're always dominating that play.
Fucking, fucking those motherfuckers. Dude, these guys.
I'm going to play more games with them, because we just win.
we drafted these fucking redheaded stepchilds, and I swear to God, like, we play money for money, you know, $20 a person, $10 a person, and it's like, hey, why
they're
don't
not
we make it,
bad Magic
why
players.
Why don't we make it $40 a person? Because we know that we're going to win. And we always have. So it's always a battle between me and Crow and Knife to, like, actually take the victory spot. Because they all, like you said, they're fine. But they're more casual players to Magic. And Magic's not a casual game. So too bad for them. Good for us.
Feels fun. It's like playing Magic Duels. It's just a good time.
So last thing, Twin Peaks. Did we talk about this? I think we did a little bit.
A little bit.
So I started watching
the original
Twin Peaks, the original.
So my wife actually started watching it too.
Fuck yeah! So if you haven't heard,
have you got the Mulder yet?
Don't go okay. there. I haven't heard that yet. No. So
well, I mean, like,
now I got it. No, I got it. I got gotcha. You. Okay. So Twin Peaks, if we didn't mention it before, was a show from 1990 to 1992. It was only 2 seasons, and the show at the end of season 2, whatever, which is the final season from before. They said, we'll be back in 25 years, basically, is what I've heard as the cutoff.
Oh, really?
They're like, we'll be back, we'll see you in 25 years. And now they announced for 2017 that they're coming out with a new show with the original cast 25 years later. And I'm like, what the fuck? That's, like, kind of amazing, which sparked my interest and probably a lot of people's interest from Netflix, because it's on Netflix, going like, yeah, I should probably just watch the first 2 seasons to make sure I'm ready for this new thing. So I've watched a little bit of it. And I am, like, kind of blown away by how good this show is.
It has a huge cult following. It is in that same line of a Firefly, of a Freaks and Geeks, of having a huge fan base of a show that ended too soon.
Dude,
kind of situation.
The acting, even though it's, like, 1990, so it doesn't feel like modern, it definitely does not. Like, there's the pauses between conversation and kind of, like, the how fluid it is a little off. But the quality of the actors, which I don't know anybody on the show, is kind of outstanding. Like, I am way impressed, and I am really looking forward to finishing this 2 seasons off and watching whatever new season comes
out.
Yeah,
I plan on watching it too. Dude, my wife just started watching it, and I've stepped in a couple times.
I'm telling you, like,
and
one like episode have, in, dude.
Like, me telling you Mulder's in the show, David Duchovny, like, this is, like, right before X-Files. Like, he went from this show to X-Files. And it's, I don't want to tell you, it's more funny. She sent me a picture, and she's like, you recognize him? I'm like, oh my god, is that Mulder? Holy fuck, it's just kind of funny.
Yeah. So, anyways, just out there, it fucking seems pretty good. So, anyways, moving past all that, E3, I mentioned the Entertainment Expo, whatever the fuck it's called, is on right now. So, like,
Electronics
I think it started.
Cubed?
Electronics Cubed. So, it started on, I think, the 9th, I think, or whatever, of June, and it's moving on until, like, the 15th or something like that, I think. So it's pretty long this year. Usually they do like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but now they started on the weekend. So we're going to talk about a couple things that have come out for Microsoft, for the Xbox specifically. I will just start it right off. Just
dive in.
And the The Xbox Scorpio. Have you guys heard of that shit? I'm sure.
We've talked about it on the cast before. You know?
Yeah, Scorpio is like the newest, like the PS4 Pro. For Xbox, so it's like the same thing as the Xbox One. It's not like These games don't work. It's not like a new console.
It's not the next generation.
It's an enhanced. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not the next generation. It's the enhanced version of existing hardware. So this one is supposed to be 4 times as powerful. Well, I mentioned before, like, there's like a thing called teraflops, right? It's basically like how many times the processor can do things in a second or
millions
or whatever.
How many times it puts its dick on the table in a second.
Right, exactly. And it moves in and out. And it's great. How many times it can come. So whatever it can do, the number, the name is irrelevant, but the Xbox One is 1.5. That's how many teraflops. The PlayStation 3, I think, was around 2. The PlayStation 3, or sorry, not PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4. PlayStation 4 Pro, which came out, whatever, last year, that does 4.2 teraflops, and the Xbox One does 6 teraflops.
Xbox One X.
Xbox One X can do 6 teraflops.
Because
so,
Scorpio was never actually its name. That was its trade name to start the project. That was never actually going to be the name of it.
Exactly.
So Xbox Scorpio, if you've heard of that, you probably have it on the cast, is now Xbox One X.
Exactly. So that's what it is, and so teraflops, who gives a fuck, but now you need to know is that 1.5, around 2, around 4, and now around 6. So it really just says that processing power, graphical power is there. It's supposed to do native 4K, so not like up-resing of whatever games. It'll do up-resing of things that are meant for 1080p, 900p, and 720p. It'll up-res things to make it 4K if you have a 4K TV. But it has enough power to run the games that are made specifically for it that are coming out in the future at native 4K, which is a pretty big deal. That's like a thing that like NVIDIA GTX 1080s, the newest graphics card that has come out, besides the 1080 GTX 1080 Ti, the newest graphics card by NVIDIA for your PC, this will do that. And now they made a console that is nearly as good as what has been out for fucking $500, you know, just for the graphics card on a PC. So we're looking at some good games. They had some gameplay, which we'll get to, of some good-looking stuff. I don't have a 4K monitor in my house or TV, so I can't tell you how it looks like there. But, I mean, on 1080p monitor, it looks fucking fantastic. So the price of this thing, though, is $499, which is
viable.
It's totally viable for a premium-level console. It's not meant for the masses, necessarily. It's meant for the serious gamer. A game that's going to be made for the Xbox One X will also be available for the Xbox One, all games. It's just that they're going to look better, run smoother, run in 4K, do extra things on the Xbox One X. But if you really just be like, no, I'm not interested, fine, keep your Xbox One or whatever, or even your PS4, and play the games and you're all good. They're not going to be making shit that is so exclusive. It might have exclusive features, but if you're just interested in a title, don't worry about it. But if you are interested in having, you know, the best gaming experience without having the hassle of buying a PC and spending I would say a gaming PC starts off about $1,200 for a decent gaming PC that'll run modern stuff at an above average frame rate and resolution. You're looking at $1,200 minimum. Like my PC is $1,300 for my PC. And that's not cheap, and I understand that it's not the average consumer's market. So if you are looking for the next thing that'll last you another, let's call it 3 years probably, to keep like top of the line stuff, Xbox One X $499. Pick that shit up, run 4K. You might not have a 4K TV, but you know you're still getting the best thing there is right now. And they announced a couple games. So they announced Forza 7, that will be running in 4K as well, I think 60 frames a second. It says it has 700 cars, which is a shit ton, and they have it where it has like that Forza Vista, where you're able to see like the detail. Like there's interiors on these cars, it's not just a shell, you know. Like it shows you, you can look under the hood, you know, you can open doors, roll down windows, like you get to see the whole car. They're not cutting corners, basically, with what they did to get the, just to develop the cars. So they have that. They have a new game from BioWare, which is the makers of Mass Effect. So if you do like Mass Effect 1, 2, 3, or Andromeda, they have a new game called Anthem. And what do we think about that?
The trailer they have for it is mostly just a teaser trailer. They're not really showing you any gameplay. They're not really showing you what's going on. They give you a baseline of what world you're in and what's kind of happening around you. But that being said, from that 30-second teaser trailer, I'm pretty excited, man.
It looks like Titanfall to me. We don't know the gameplay, though, but we know that the theme looks like Titanfall.
To a point where there has... When he says Titanfall, I only say that because there is some kind of body suit, an exoskeleton suit, like an alien or in Titanfall, that looks like you're going to be crawling into to explore outside the wall.
And you do have that...
The wilderness they have you where there's going to be... They show, at one point, they show like some kind of beast-like creature... That's going to be like, you know, menacing kind of a situation.
It looks like something from Evolve or something like that.
Kind of, yeah. So I think the baseline is going to be like you live in this fucking, not utopia, but you live in a walled off world, and on the outside of that fucking wall is what you're going to be exploring.
It's dangerous shit out there.
Just the teaser trailer, I'm excited for it. It looked pretty. It looked like it has a chance. I mean, we'll see what kind of game it's going to be. But the teaser trailer has me interested to know what it's about.
But I bet you it'll have, instead of being the Call of Duty fast-paced shooter element of Titanfall, which I do love, will probably be more of the character building, you know, decision making, all the stuff they're popular and familiar with. They'll probably be more of that version of the kind of modern warfare Call of Duty Titanfall type universe. It'll be just that other extra, you know, more serious gamer take on that shit. So that was pretty cool. Besides that. What is this? It fucking timed out on this goddamn monitor. What the fuck happened? We're still recording. We're good.
Had me scared a little bit.
Peter turned off. I have no idea. There's a trailer for Shadows of War. Middle Earth.
I put this on the list here because they're actually the biggest thing. Because I've been talking about it for a bit now. I am super excited for Middle Earth Shadows of War. I was a big fan of Shadows of Mordor, and this is the next installment in that plan. Their enemy, what's it called? Nemesis battle fucking whatever it is.
The system, whatever that they have.
Yeah, their battle system where you can kill off a particular like orc captain, and he'll come back. They say you shot him in the eye with the bow and arrow. He'll come back with a fucking eye patch. Now he'll come back screaming at you, "You took my eye! I'm going to take your head!" Like... So it just builds, and so he gets stronger when he comes back. Or if you get killed by a fucking peon, he'll suddenly become a captain, and he'll get a background story. So now they're building on this nemesis system and taking it to a whole new level, whole new siege battles, and bringing the race into the game, and taking over armies, and building more RPG factors to it, adding it so you can have new fucking, you know, like an RPG factor where you're able to pick up new armor and better armor and all kinds of those kind of aspects and all kinds of new elements of this game. And I'm very excited for this game. The reason I have it on the list here is because actually, as we see here tonight, it is the 11th. Tomorrow is the day they're having their E3 announcements and their trailers and their information.
Okay, so it's not out yet, but we're going to see it soon. And so, either way, you know a baseline of what it's going to be like. And you're super excited.
They've actually been doing a lot of like Twitch streams, having like some actual gameplay footage. And people asking questions and all kinds of stuff going on already. So there's a lot of information out on it, and I've been paying attention to that. I bring it up because I'm excited about watching it, because even though it's probably going to show things I already have seen and know, I'm just really excited for this.
Okay, so take over this. So Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront 2 is coming out.
Great.
You've seen some of the footage. I've seen a little bit too, but it's more your topic.
I follow Stone Mountain 64. If you don't know him, I'm sure you've seen different gaming clips of the guy who goes around screaming, "I am your CEO, follow me down the blah blah blah, CEO Cortez, follow me here, blah blah blah." He's a real funny streamer. He's very good at first person shooter games. He's hilarious to fucking watch. Very good at the game. He's on Twitch, Stone Mountain 64. I'm sure you've seen different clip videos of him doing hilarious shit and getting everybody laughing with him and having a good time. So anyways, EA invited him to be part of their play day, or whatever the fuck it was, yesterday, where they invited a few streamers. And so, anyways, before they actually did a live stream of the gameplay, an actual match of the game. And so they got to play a couple matches beforehand and get used to the game, and then they streamed one match of it. And watching him play, he made sure he did a run through of like all things you were doing on this map. So if you played Battle...
Go.
So watching him play this match, he goes in... And he does a good run through of all the different like types of soldiers you're able to beat while playing. So while you're playing as droids or clones, so he's on the clones team. And as he's playing, you know, you start off as just a basic grunt, and you're shooting him, and it has a battle point system where you're out there and when you shoot an enemy, when you kill an enemy, if you support your team, you help your teammates, you get more battle points, and they accumulate. So once you die, you're able to respawn and you choose a new... You can choose to be the grunt again, or there's like a heavy class... heavy class creature, soldier. There's officers. You get enough points, you can unlock an AT-RT, which is a little fucking like Velociraptor thing you're running around on. You go fast.
Yeah, it's weird. George, I never heard of an AT-RT. I've heard of obviously AT-ST, AT-AT, but then this thing is like a mini AT-ST, where it's like instead of having the actual compartment where you sit in and drive it, you just like ride it like a goddamn horse. It has little mechanical legs, and you fucking two-legged run around. Fuck people up. It's pretty, I mean, it looks fucking cool. It's fast, and it kind of feels like it plays like you would in a third-person game. It feels fast.
Mm, yeah. And so, like, on the droid side, you can be like B2 battle, the battle droid, you know, the big fucking heavy dude that has, like, rockets on his arm and shit. And so from there, you're able to get enough accumulation of battle points as you play that you can unlock ships and the AT-RT stuff, and even unlock the heroes such as Rey or Darth Maul. And Darth Maul looks fucking good as shit in this game. I'm a big fan of Darth Maul. I love that fucking guy. But as you're playing, so you can accumulate these points, and it just looks fun as shit. As you go through it, and I really like that they built the battle system and the battle points. Is one of the biggest gripes for me playing the first one. Because one, it was a little slow moving around. This one, you're also moving a lot faster. It's more of like a Call of Duty FPS where you're moving a lot faster pace, where you're not like so slowly jogging. It has a faster gameplay to it, it feels like, which I'm happy about. And then from there, unlike, say, like a Call of Duty game where you have to get 3 kills and 1 life to unlock the radar or something like that where nothing like accumulates, you have to be good at one of those games, unlock the big like call-in perks, like, you know, getting the bombers and shit. You have to get a whole bunch of kills and stay alive in one.
Dying, you have to kill 7 people or whatever.
This has a battle point system, so no matter what you do, you go in, like, the grunt is free, and then from there you're able to build more points. You shoot somebody, you gain some points. So you gain points based on performance for each life, but then those accumulate and you spend them as you will. And then so you're able to go through there. And the problem with the first one is, like, I barely ever got to be in the fucking vehicle because somebody else ran into it first. Or, like, if it's particular battle maps, like, somebody else got to be the hero first. And so it became like this, okay, well, I'm not getting a chance to fucking do this. And now you get to get these battle points, excuse me, and just respawn as that guy. Granted, there's only one hero at a time, so when somebody's playing them, you can't be the hero or whatever. But everything else, you can fucking use at any time, as long as you have the points for it. I think that's fucking fun. I think that's good for people because, like, for me, I used to play a shitload of fucking, like, Call of Duty games like that where I was really good at them. But to be good at those games, you have to play them hours every day and, like, play them a lot, multiple times, you know, playing them 5 days out of the 7 days during the week and multiple hours each time. Like, to be truly good at a game like that. Because people are always playing, there's always ways people are getting really good at it. So for this system to be, I can go on there and, like, now I have a kid. I don't have the time to play all the fucking time. Like, I have to deal with fucking real life now. I'm an adult. So now to be able to just fucking pick it up, play it, and, like, I'm not, like, the best at FPSs, but I'm not bad. So I can go through and play a good amount and, like, still be able to unlock the fun things to be. The game looks fucking fun, man. There's, like I said, it's a lot faster than the original game. There's supposed to be a campaign. We haven't seen play from that yet. I'm
way interested in the campaign. That's kind of like my...
That's more your shtick.
Meat and potatoes, you know what I mean, of a fucking game.
But me watching this one match of this, that sold me on the game
entirely. It also, the map is fucking huge, dude. It's huge. It's huge, guys.
I think it's a little smaller than you think.
No, it's not. It's huge.
It's not a small map, but, like, the dogfights and then the air battles, like, you're playing on
the whole map. It goes farther than the map. Yeah.
The actual map size on the ground is a little more linear than the actual full portion of the map that you see in the air.
Fine. I can deal.
Well, I'm happier. I don't like giant maps that take forever to get back in the fight. Like, you spawn, you can get back in the fight pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, like, I was holding my...
You had reservations. Hype.
Yeah, I had reservations about this. Because
like first an Indian. One, like a Native American. Yeah.
First one I liked, but there's a lot of things wrong with it that made me only play it for, like, 2 months, and I haven't played it for a long time now. And I wasn't sure I'd spend the money on this one. Now, after watching this one gameplay from Stone Mountain...
I mean, I kind of felt that no matter what they did, I'm still going to buy it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a Star Wars game by a AAA fucking developer, I'm pretty sure.
Now I'm excited to buy it rather than just having to buy it.
Yeah. So, other games. Real quick, there was Crackdown. Do you guys remember Crackdown 1 and 2?
I never
on the Xbox 360. I think Crackdown 1 was like a launch title for the 360, and now they had it. Again, you know, Crackdown 2 is also on the 360. They skipped it all for the Xbox One. It's been coming out for fucking ever. Now it's a launch title for it. This is going to be a new Metro game called Metro Exodus. So if you ever played like Metro 2048 or whatever it was called, or Metro Last Light, super fun games.
Isn't really like Metro Redux too, or something.
Yeah,
like
Metro
that?
Redux. They really, really pushed the graphics on the console, and it was fun. Not my favorite game, but I played them and I really enjoyed them. They're cool. They're good games. And then there's State of Decay 2, which State of Decay was a big hit for the Xbox Arcade marketplace. So if you did play that, you know, it's a zombie game, kind of, you know.
Multiple different times it's been free to get on there, so eventually it'll be free again. Yeah. Like probably with the release of this, the first one will probably be free or cheap. And I suggest it. It's a solid arcade-based game on there. And the thing about it is it's more realistic in the sense of like how limited its supplies are. And like, I never beat the game. I had to a point where I was so like surrounded by shit that I accidentally saved in a bad spot, and I didn't have supplies. I couldn't get out of it.
Yeah.
And so like, but besides that though, like the game itself is actually pretty fun.
The zombie survival. So I know people really liked the first one. They had a lot of gripes. There's a lot of bugs. I remember the first one. Yeah. So now I'm guessing that the second one they're going to take their time, and fucking it's been out 3 years in development probably. So hopefully it'll be a lot better. So those are some of the games they've announced for like the launch window for the Xbox One X. And then the final thing I want to say about it is that it plays now. Now they're going to announce that as far as backwards compatibility, they're going to be able to play any Xbox One game on it. But also adding that you're going to be able to play original Xbox games on it. So they're doing the super duper backwards compatible, where now you can play OG Xbox games on your Xbox One X.
I'm going to look at it again to confirm, but I'm pretty sure that's not just for Xbox One X. I'm pretty sure that's coming to Xbox One as well.
Well, until you hear that, I'm not going to click on it now.
I'm not saying
now. We're going to crash,
motherfucker. I'm saying we'll look at the article again, but I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to play some original Xbox games on the Xbox.
Listen, I hope so. So, anyways, $4.99. We'll get you all this fun shit. That's the fucking news we're talking about, besides Magic stuff. So, moving on though. Fucking tell me about some Magic stuff, dude. Get onto the meat and potatoes of this rather than the single player shit that I like.
So right now, modern is, you know, with Wizards, like almost like we've talked about before, like almost trying to kill the format because they're not supporting it anymore. They're not showing any more coverage of it. They're not making any more GPs of it. So that was like, you know, we're all kind of like, everybody who enjoys modern like we do, we're kind of like a little worried in the sense of, is this fucking dying out a little bit because, like, you know, Wizards trying to push it. Well, as of right now, like with the last couple of weekends of the SCG and all that jazz, there's more people going to modern tournaments than there are standard. Like, the SCG tournaments for Modern are being sold out, while the standard ones aren't being filled. One second.
God, fucking God bless you, dude. Jesus. Wants to get out real hard right now.
Anyway, so it's been packed houses for Modern GPs and Modern SCG events. And it's just, Modern is still going very strong. The only thing with that right now, though, is the Modern meta is all about Grixis Death Shadow.
But it's not, though.
But
because,
it is.
No, but it's not, because looking at the tournament results, you know, out of the say that's 20, so it's three top eight, so it's 24 deck, or 24 things, right? There was like 16 or 18 different decks out of 24. Shit ton of different decks.
That's modern. I'm not saying that is the only deck played out there. It's modern. There's always different decks that are viable to play in modern.
Yeah, they're making top eights, homie. However, of course, a dominant deck. It should be.
The numbers are getting to that point of Splinter Twins type of numbers. It is the majority played deck. That is definitely the majority played deck. It is the most decks that are in the top eights, especially the last couple SCG tournaments. So leading into that is, like, you know, from there, it's the main two decks being focused on right now are Grixis Death Shadow and this company combo fucking deck, this, you know, that has
a devoted druid.
Yeah,
and
so
whatever
it hasn't
else.
Quite the numbers haven't quite hit. So the last two SCG tournaments, it hasn't made top eight, but there's been a lot of decks there. They're just close. They're just not quite getting top eight. So it is the new fucking flavor of the week.
It's an infinite. I saw a couple of them. So like infinite mana, devoted druid, and that new Amonkhet dude that like you can't get -1/-1 counters. So the thing taps for infinite green mana, and then you can use that to Court of Calling for your What is that dude from?
Walking Ballista.
Walking Ballista. You get that, you put infinite counters on it, or however many you need, you remove them one by one, you fucking ping your player, the opponent for 20. Basically, it means that if you have a Court of Calling...
You don't have to have Court, though, because you just have Dustwalk Recruiter.
Or, yes, if you have that, you go that is your whole the other deck, way.
You find the card you need, you cast that, and you win.
Duskwatch Recruiter has that ability. You can pay 2 and a green, 3 mana, to look at the top 3, put a creature card from it into your hand. So you can go ahead and pay 3, which you have infinite, so pay the amount, look at the top 3, oh, nope, didn't find it. Okay, pay 3 again, oh, didn't find it. You do that, look through your whole deck, find... Walking Ballista. Cast Walking Ballista. Obviously, you have infinite mana left over because you had infinite to start with. You put in all the counters you need. You fucking kill them on the spot. So, infinite mana on that. But then there's also still Kitchen Finks combo where you're able to just, you know,
just
sacrifice. But it's still in the same deck, though.
It is.
So,
but,
Kitchen Finks in the
same... But there's a difference because a lot of times people aren't playing Viscerous Seer, which was the original part of that combo with the Murderous Red Cap.
Right.
And the Kitchen Finks.
Sack it infinitely.
And so, like, the infinite life... is being much and much, much more and more or less. It is going the Devoted Druid route. And so that's how that deck is currently evolving. That deck is still around, that you're talking about, the Infinite Life deck is still around, but it's evolving into this Infinite Mana deck.
Gotcha, I thought they had both, so I could be wrong. Either way, you get what it is, that it's the fucking Abzan going infinite with creatures type deck. So I've seen that, and all those cards have gone way up. Like, the foils of that Uncommon and Amonkhet are like $15 now. Devoted Druid is like $13 or $15 by itself as a common level from like fucking Mirrodin or whatever. So like that shit is crazy. I'm sure foils of that are like $40-$50 right now just for a fucking common. So all the prices have gone crazy for that shit. And then Duskwatch Recruiter foils are now over $10. And that's a funny card that I guess should be like a $3, you know, foil, $2 foil, but it's like over $10 now. So yeah, the deck is popping up pretty fucking hard.
So the reason I'm bringing up the Grixis Death Shadow right now in particular is because with the upcoming Banned and Restricted announcement, which I believe is next Wednesday, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's next Wednesday, the debate is anything going to be banned from a Death Shadow? Is Death Shadow going to be banned? Is something that makes that deck go off? Is Street Wraith going to be banned? It's just one of those things, and it's the type of thing that, for me, I think it's too early to go that route, because you know me and I have the same kind of concept of let things flush out. People need to make decks that can beat the decks that are the top decks. That's how you get things better. That's how you keep a healthy format. Like, someone gets good, figure out a way to beat it, and go from there. But, that being said, Wizards has showed, especially recently, that they're being super fucking quick draw on fucking bannings right now. So, my question is, do you think they're going to ban anything from it coming up?
I feel like I don't think that Death Shadow is going to get anything banned. That's my opinion. I feel like there are ways to use what they're doing and abuse it. So there is that one in a white instant from like Kaladesh or whatever it was, or I don't know, Blessed Alliance.
That's Battle for Zendikar.
Battle for Zendikar, or whatever. One escalate of those things. Stuff. Yeah, escalate shit. So, like, I'm not saying that one answer is good enough, but that card's hilarious against it because target player gains 4 life, and you're able to have them be at like 11 life and cast a couple Death Shadows, and you're like, holy shit, they're going off. And then you're just like, oh, when you attack, I want you to, you know, sack a creature and gain 4 life. And so they're like, so they, like, lose their board because all their fucking Death Shadows turn into, like, -2/-2s because they gained the life. And they went to 15 life, which, you know, you don't want your opponent gaining life, do you? But you do because that's it kills Death off Shadows, yeah, their whole strategy. And obviously just making them sack a creature, when they don't play that many, they just play, like, Tarmogoyfs and that, basically. So, yeah, like, when they're only attacking you with one or two creatures at a time, having them sack a creature is like pretty hilarious. So, my point is, they're trying to kill themselves while trying to kill you, kind of like a Punisher Burn type thing or some mutual thing like that. So, there's ways I feel like to get around it. I know it's fast. I know it's tough. I know there's like turn 3 kills out there. It gets pretty insane. And I have to agree with you. If for some reason they felt like this deck is just way too powerful, which I do not think that it is necessary to ban, but if they did, I feel like the free card draw, free mana stuff, just like the Gitaxian Probe, that Street Wraith would be the target. The things that get it out fast, because you're not banning Shocklands, obviously, which is one of the big things to get their life total low.
You're not banning Thought Seizes.
And you're not banning Thought Seizes, which is another way. The Fetches, Shocklands, and Thought Seizes. Now instead, you're going to be banning the Street Wraiths, which will not affect people's, you know, collections. It's not going to be throwing off, you know, all these collections. It's just going to be limiting how fast the deck can be. And it's not going to kill Death Shadow either. It's going to, like, you know, slow it down, but it's not going to kill the deck. It's just a 4-of. Like, I mean, it's not like that a deck can't function with a card that you might not even draw.
Yeah.
You know, if it's only a 4-of and you have fucking 56 other cards in the deck, like, if the card, if you don't draw the card, there's a lot of, anyways, there's a lot of fucking times that the card never gets drawn in the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my point is that if they're not killing the core strategy and they're only removing one thing that makes it just that incrementally faster, I totally agree that Street Wraith is the card to get rid of. Because also, you know, when things, Phyrexian Mana is a bad idea and things that are cheap and free are fucking a bad idea. So, you don't want to give someone value for no value at all. When losing two life is also part of the strategy. So, yeah, I'm down. I'm down as far as if they ban it, I'm like, yeah, I get it. But my opinion is that I don't think that deck is unbeatable. Like, I think that deck is very beatable. So I don't mind it.
As I go into my opinion of it real quick, have you been watching the last two SCG tournaments of the last 3 weeks?
I didn't watch this week. I watched the other ones.
Okay, yeah. So the reason I bring this up that much more of why I think there may be a ban coming is because it seems to be running rampant. Especially between the last two weekends ago, last tournament or whatever, and then this weekend's tournament, it is all over the place. The deck is everywhere. Mm-hmm. It is the main deck being played by far.
Gotcha.
From there, I don't think it needs to be banned, especially this early, because the fact is they're trying to kill themselves to get the big creature, and that's one thing. But there's Path to Exile, there's Answers, there's Fatal Push kills it easily, there's Answers to it, and then, because of this, plenty of people came this weekend and Burn, like, I'm not a Burn fan, but Burn got a huge boost because, hey, you're going to put yourself to 7? I mean, I have to draw fucking 3 kill spells.
It's also nice that, so I love Burn in that way, that, like, they can play out their creatures, so they can play their Monastery Swift Spheres and whatever, and try and keep them low, attack, do their chump blocking, do whatever, and then hold cards in their hand until they get to, like, 3 lands or 4 lands, and then when they get that right moment, it's like, alright, I'm going to fucking... They could be to the point where it's like, all right, I'm going to go to attacks. Okay, no blocks. Cool. In response, I'm going to, you know, my priority or whatever for after blocks are declared, I'm going to cycle a Street Wraith. I'm going to fucking, you know, I'm going to sack this fucking fetch that I had sitting there. I'm going to go ahead and pump my dudes up from 7 power to 10 power or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, cool. In response to you doing that or whatever, or as after that thing resolves, I'm going to go ahead and fucking hit you with 2 lightning bolts and kill you before your combat damage even resolves. So, like, that's the kind of shit that I can see Burn being super,
like,
good at.
For me,
you're playing the game, dude. Yeah. You see open mana, and it's like, you really want to fucking crack your fetch right now? You sure? You really want to Thought Seize me for 2, and I'm just going to fucking, in response, unload, and then have you fucking hit 2 while taking my last card? Like, it's just so good that way. Like,
the deck is very streamlined and solid for what it wants to do. I mean, it turns Magic on its head a little bit, because, like, I'm all for using my life totals as a resource. I'm a Dimir player. I'm all for using my life totals as a resource. The fact that this wants to use life total, like, so you can't, like, as you're sitting there and you have a task on the table, and you go, I should be attacking right now, but, oh, wait a minute, you're at 10 right now, I can't attack you, because then your Death Shadow kills me, because now it's a huge fucking beast. That's very strange for the Magic, how it's going. I don't think it needs to be banned. I think Teal needs to figure out how to beat it a little more. I agree. If they ban anything, it should be Street Wraith, because that extra card draw plus the huge pump it gets is, you know, not that it's too much, but it's so, the deck is so streamlined.
How about this, though? What else are they going to fucking ban? Like, right, nothing? Like, everything else is too,
simple. It, like, is why the, would... I don't. If anything gets banned from Modern right now, the only card I see getting banned is Street Wraith.
Yeah, that's what I think,
which,
man,
is a weird fucking card to get banned.
You know what, though? I remember Saffronal was talking about how, like, even though Storm's not a thing, they're kind of, like, wondering, like, Wizards just hates Storm being a thing.
Yeah.
And they're thinking that they might get a ban for Storm also, because...
I disagree.
No, disagree is fine, because I don't even have a thought of it or opinion about it. But they're saying that, like, Wizards hates Storm so much that they're wondering if they're just going to ban something anyways, even though it's not seeing a big permanent role. Because, like, it's still getting popularity from the new Baral decks coming out. Because Baral and Goblin Electromancer have
put it back on the map. When I say I disagree not that Wizards isn't going to do it. I disagree that they shouldn't do it.
Because, yeah, because it's not even taking down tournaments or nothing.
And Grixis Death Shadow kicks its ass.
I think it's just like, no, you want to make sure that nobody fucking plays it, basically. They want it to never get played in a tournament. Yeah, so that's what it feels like.
I play Grixis Control, and I haven't played against anybody playing Death Shadow, but I want to play against them. Because I play 4 Bolts, I play 3 K Commands, and it's just like, go ahead. Like, go ahead and get low, and I will do what I do by controlling the board, clear dudes off, and now I'm going to Snapcaster kill you.
Right.
So, like, I'm not personally in for the deck. I get why it's powerful and what's going on with it, but I don't think it should be banned. I don't think, especially Death Shadow itself, should be banned. If you want to take out Street Wraith, that's one thing. But at the same time, like right now, it's just too early. It's too early. It took them fucking like 2 years to ban Splinter Twin. It took them forever to get rid of that card, and that card was running rampant for fucking 2 years all over the place. This is a new fucking fangled mess of like the last 6 months or something, maybe at the most. So I don't think it's at the point it needs to be banned, but Wizards has been pulling the trigger early recently. So
yeah.
I would not be surprised at all if they banned something from it. So.
Yep. I understand. So, I mean, that's pretty much, we don't really have much to talk about this week for that kind of shit. So I think we should get on to the final segment of our cast, of our Crow Sauce cast. And, you know, do the real thing. Do the real thing, guys. You ready?
Okay.
The very best.
Oh, come on.
Oh, what the fuck?
Come on. Stand is my real test.
Oh, you know what?
To train them is
I'm sorry. I gotta stop this. I'm gonna cut this out. I need to get the lyrics. I don't know the lyrics.
Oh, really?
Not all of them, no.
I know them for sure. It throws me off and somebody else is singing at the same time, so it'd be better if you know the lyrics as you're going.
Okay, let me see here. Let me get out of here. I can
dead air. He's looking for the Pokemon. This is our duet. I called it. I asked for it.
Let's see here.
By the way, we're casting this time with only one mic, so we've been sitting like very close together the whole time. This is gonna be intimate.
Oh, it's gonna be really good though. Oh, okay. Now here we are to the real part of the cast.
I wanna be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test. To train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. Pokemon, gotta catch them all. I know it's my destiny, Pokemon. Oh, you're my best friend. In a world we must defend. Pokemon, gotta catch 'em. My heart's so true. Our courage will pull us through. You teach me and I'll teach you. Pokemon, gotta catch 'em all. Gotta catch 'em all.
That's the main song. This is the extended now. You want to go this time?
Every challenge along the way, courage I will face. I will battle every day, play my rightful place. Come with me, the time is right. There's no better team. Arm in arm, we'll win the fight. Always been our dream. Pokemon, gotta catch 'em. It's you and me. I know it's my destiny. Pokemon, oh, you're my best friend. In a world we must defend. Pokemon, gotta catch 'em. A heart so true. Our courage will pull us through. You teach me and I'll teach you. Pokemon!
Gotta catch 'em all!
Gotta catch 'em all! Pokemon!
That's it.
Yeah!
We're fucking the best singers in the whole world.